You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
It is our pastor appreciation service, if you have not guessed that yet. And I don't know if everyone realizes it or not, but we are also celebrating the fact that Pastor Sister Carter have been here for 12 years. 12 years. They arrived in this great church on August 26, 2010 to preach, in 2012 to preach, and on September 16th, this church voted them in as our pastor. And we are honoring your leadership, your kindness, your guidance, your godliness, your sacrifice, your care, and your wisdom. God has blessed us over and above here in St. John when he gave us you. He really spoiled us, blessing us with the best. And my wife is going to come in just a moment after me and speak about Sister Carter, but while I have the mic, I want to talk to you about our pastor. Pastor, you have a way of rallying the troops, marching to the front lines of God's calling and putting in us a desire to follow you as you follow Christ. In the past 12 years, we have renovated almost every room in this building. But what has meant more to you than any of that is watching as God renovates heart after heart that comes to him. In the past 12 years, following your vision, we have opened up Daughterworks lighthouses in every corner of the city and have watched people from every community respond to the gospel. In the past 12 years, you've trained men and women for ministry, have sent people to the mission field, have installed people in leadership roles, and have believed in so many of us who didn't even believe in ourselves. If you just take a moment to look across this room here this morning, these are the individuals that you've prayed for, that you pray that God would send us, and God has sent you a thorn in the flesh who you've prayed that God would remove three times, but he said, I'm not going to remove it, and so here I am, stuck with me. But these are the people that you've prayed for. And have we watched God just draw one by one, family after family, into the fold. And there are people that you've invested in, believed in, and are now pastors, teachers, ushers, hostesses, musicians, singers, you name it. God has used you to empower and mobilize his church. But I must say something that you've said many times. You're not just the pastor of Mission Point, you're the pastor of this city, the watchman on the wall. God tells Jeremiah a prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, that he would give us pastors according to his heart, that will feed us with knowledge and understanding, and we are living in that prophecy today. God, according to his heart, has given us a pastor who feeds us week after week, month after month, year after year with the word of God. And we don't know how you find the time to do all that you do. We really don't. But we do know this, that you will stop, just as Zach has said, you will stop whatever you are doing to help someone in need. Whether that's sharing the gospel, counseling someone, cutting down trees. Probably doesn't want everyone knowing that he does that. Don't spread that, okay? Shingling roofs, bringing someone groceries, you are generous to a fault. And I'm thankful that we have a pastor like that. Thank you for preaching the truth and living in truth, even when it's not easy. We stand with you.
You guys know I can't get up here and just be all classy, right? It's too awkward for me. So here we go. I was back there, and we were just before we came out to sing, we were talking about, Danielle asked me if I was doing a speech, and I said, yeah, and she goes, oh, I don't know how you do it. I got to do mine on a video, and I was like, I want to do it on a video. Okay, the youth and the children did so amazing, and all that pretty background music that makes you feel all emotional, pretend there's background music as I give my speech, okay? No, but I have to write everything I say down. Otherwise, there's no edit button. So this governs me, just as you saw like 10 seconds ago when I didn't stick to the notes. But as we honor Pastor today, we also want to honor and pay tribute to our First Lady, Sister Carter. She is well known for her gracefulness, her class and elegance, as well as her faithfulness, meekness, and her kindness. Her meek demeanor may portray her as a quiet lady at first glance, but I think I would best describe her as a quiet warrior. Truth be told, she isn't as quiet as many may think, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God. In almost every single conversation that I have had with her over the last 18 plus years, she has always vocalized in almost every conversation, whether we're at the church or completely just on a day off where we're just being normal people, she always vocalizes her care and concern for the spiritual welfare of others. She lives, breathes, and eats kingdom work. Her passion to see young ladies, young and old, flourish and grow in their God-given gifts and calling is nothing short of inspiring. Always is she asking, how can we help? What can we do? What are your thoughts on this idea to help our ladies or help our church family grow? How can we encourage them? How can we pray for them? How can we serve them? Most people go on vacation to turn their minds off for a little while. She goes on vacation and thinks about how best to serve the church, this great church, when she gets back. I see this not only in our own church, but as well as into our district and beyond. Her love for people is genuine and it's deep. She lives sacrificially, not only with her time and her talents, because she will serve in whatever capacity she is asked to serve in, but also with her family and friends. She selflessly sacrifices time with her husband so he can be pastor to many, and she does so with great grace. I've never heard her complain about it. I see their calendar. I have a good inside view of a good portion of their personal lives. And I've seen them in their highest, and I've seen them sometimes at their lowest. Even the best of pastors have to walk through life's valleys. But through it all, both she and Pastor have exemplified with excellence James 1, 3, and 4, which says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." You guys truly walk the walk and talk the talk. Although we may not always vocalize it, we as a church want you to know that we see your efforts. We see you, and we thank you. I wasn't expecting to cry, but I watched them pour their hearts out day in and day out for this church. And when there's times that I'm too raw, and I'm like, I can't do this. It's too hard. I watch them as they just, yes, you can. And they always state why. You're called for the people. It's for you guys. They give their hearts for you and for this city. So we want to thank you for your steadfastness. Your quiet meekness rings loud and clear in your leadership and your example. And there has been many testimonies of that from the youth today. We honor you, both of you, and we are not only blessed here at Mission Point, but we are truly thankful to call you our shepherds of this flock.
I'm going to ask them if they'll join me up on the platform at this time. And we have some gifts to give you to show you our appreciation. And for all that you do, and this is just a small token of our appreciation. I But even more than that, one of the greatest gifts that we could give you is our prayers. And we want you to know that we pray for you, Pastor and Sister Carter. We pray that the Lord covers you in his peace, fills you with his joy, and refreshes your soul every day. And what an honor it is to just show thanks for all that you do throughout the year. We thank you for it. And today, we are honored and blessed to have us. Now, he's been trying to get this out of me. He knew that this day was coming, and all I do is I put it on the calendar to make sure that he's going to be here. And his calendar, Pastor Sister Carter's calendar, get booked up so fast. If you don't know, Pastor is not only the pastor of this great church, but he's also the president of the Bible College in Fredericton. He's also the superintendent of the Atlantic District, who oversees over 70 churches. And his phone rings off the hook constantly of individuals that are trying to get a hold of them, and so I always let them know the date, but I keep the surprise of who is coming to speak. And we're always trying to think who would make the most impact for Pastor and Sister Carter, and we could think of no one better than Brother and Sister Carol. They have meant so much to them and so much to us. They've taken my wife underneath their wing and have made us feel like family. In fact, my wife and I might not be married today or even know who each other are if it wasn't for the Carols. My wife comes from a small fishing community in Bay St. Anne in Escuminac, north of here, and I come from Hatfield Point, which is not too far from here, and we ended up meeting in the Bangor Mall because she was down there for a Christian concert with Brother and Sister Carol. She had just come to the church. She had just come to the Lord, and they brought her with them to a Christian concert down there, and we ended up running into each other for the first time there. And let me tell you, if you know the Carols at all, they have a way of making anybody feel like family right away. And we're just so appreciative to have them with us. I know how much they mean to the Carters. They've been lifelong friends. And we are honored and blessed to have you here today. They pastor in Doaktown, New Brunswick. They come to us all the way from there. Had a little bit of trouble in getting here yesterday, but they've arrived. We're thankful for it, and we're going to open up the pulpit right now for Brother Carol to come. Can you welcome him as he comes?
I've got two bottles of water, so know what that means. Well, it's great to be with you folks today at Mission Point, and man, you've done a great job of honoring your pastor and his wife today. You need to be commended for that, and I do. And these are great people that we have known for a long time. Now, you've celebrated the last 12 years. Let me go back 35 years. You can bring that up. This is their first home, just after they got married. How big was that trailer, brother? 8x30, little mobile trailer, planted in Quishmaquack. And, man, we had some great times in that little trailer, visiting back and forth. Both of us got married the same year, and both of our ladies are from Doaktown. So there's something about the water in Doaktown, if you're looking for anyone, because some beautiful ladies come out of Doaktown, guys. Now, the men I won't say much about, but we are honored to be here to help you celebrate this day. And there's a lot that can be said. Back 35 years ago, even before we were married to our wives, we used to travel to the Bible school a lot because they were both in school, our wives. And there's one story that really sticks in my mind, and that's the story of when we got pulled over for drugs. Now, you all thought he was nice and innocent and everything, right? We got hauled over. I got to explain, because I don't know if you know where the Salmon River Road is. It's a shortcut from Fredericton through to the 126 into Quishmaquack. And we traveled that a lot. It was a shortcut, and we were coming through there in the middle of the night. There's nothing there. It's a row of very few houses, got a few camps on it. And we're just driving along. All of a sudden, you see these lights coming after us. Four cop cars. Were you driving? Yeah, and I said, why would they be coming? I said, Brother Carter, he don't speed. Why would they be coming after us when he's driving? Anyway, they pulled us over, and, man, they ordered us out of the car, and that was the day. Those were the times they had those paper bags, remember? When you put, you would buy something, and he had a bottle wrapped up in a paper bag laying in the seat. And the cop kept asking him, what's in that bag? It's Mountain Dew. Oh, yeah, right, Mountain Dew. Two young lads in the middle of nowhere, and you got Mountain Dew with you? And it was Mountain Dew. And so, as the story goes, they kind of searched the car over. Okay, you guys are free to go. And I think we heard maybe a couple, 3 days later, there was a big drug bust in the Chipman area. So they were looking for some people. And just thankfully, we were not the ones that they were looking for. And there are so many memories and stories and just some great times. Just great times. Probably the most impact is the one I wasn't aware of or wasn't awake for was when I was sick. And I was in St. John Regional. Brother Carter and Sister Carter were in a general conference, had gotten home. I was fighting for my life. And there's a long story behind it, and I won't go into it, but he came down when he got home, and he fought. He went into that room, and he fought, because it was a spiritual battle that was going on, and he fought that spiritual battle. And I was on a respirator. I was fighting for my life. And that evening, I was up eating toast because he fought for my life. So I appreciate that. And there's a lot more that happened, of course. But I'm just thankful that we're friends. And my wife and Sister Carter are lifetime friends, even before we... They're both from the same church, so they grew up together. And just appreciate them so very, very much. Cody, so proud of you. Cody's my nephew. So I'm proud of you and Marissa. Good to hear the great job you're doing. These young people love you. And you made a comment that you like your pastor's hair. So I need to know. It's all right? Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Thank you, Brother and Sister Robertson. Great people, for the invite to come and to celebrate with you folks today. And thank you for the beautiful basket that you left in the room for us. Appreciate it so very much. I do feel that I have a message for this morning. It's not really a pastor appreciation message, but I feel the Lord's given to me to encourage someone this morning. And so we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 2. Just read that one verse. Prophet says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also is become my salvation. Amen. And from this, I want to put the title of this message, The God of the Unexpected. God of the unexpected. And what I feel in my spirit is I'm here to encourage someone, to help someone be renewed in their trust with God. All right? Your trust in God has been challenged, and God's going to renew it in this service this morning. Can you receive that in the name of the Lord? Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this time together, Lord. Everything that's been done to honor this pastor and his wife. Thank you, Lord, for these great people. And now, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just let your word go forth from these lips to speak what you have laid in my heart and my spirit. God, we pray, Lord, that somebody, Lord, would be encouraged. Somebody, Lord, would learn that you are in control of all things, that they don't need to worry, they don't need to be afraid of anything. You are a God of the unexpected. And Lord, we just pray for your will to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. There are things that happen in life that come upon us unexpectedly. Sometimes a tragic accident, news of a serious disease. Even a few years ago, we had coronavirus that literally shut the world down overnight. These things caught us off guard. The Bible is filled with people who have had unexpected things happen in their lives. Joseph was not expecting to be the governor of Egypt. Moses was not expecting to be chosen to deliver Israel from Egypt. Nehemiah was not expected to finish rebuilding the walls in 52 days. And the three Hebrew boys were not expected to survive the burning fiery furnace. But I'm here to declare this morning that when God steps into a situation, something that's unexpected, things change. God can do anything. God can take that which is meant for evil and he can turn it for the good in the child of God's life. Why? Because he's in complete control. Amen. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. You are in the hands of a mighty God. You're in the hands of a God that has all power in heaven and in this earth. If you look at the story in the Old Testament of a boy named David, this one day he went to check on his brothers who were at war with the Philistines. And as he walks into the camp of Israel, he hears an unexpected sound. It's the sound of the enemy, Goliath, the mighty giant, breathing out threatening remarks toward the armies of Israel. These were God's mighty men of war. All the army, the Bible says, feared the mighty Goliath. As they looked and they saw his large stature, they heard the vicious words that he spoke. Not even Saul, their leader, their king, was willing to step forward to challenge this man, Goliath. As David comes into the camp, he hears those chants, "Send me a man to fight. If he defeats me, we will be your servants. But if I defeat him, Israel will be our servant." I think we need to understand that David is just a shepherd. He's not a warrior. He's a shepherd. Amen. But he knew what victory was all about. He knew how not to fear his enemy because God was on his side. God was fighting his battles. He had victories of the past that he was now going to bring forward because he knew the God of the past was going to be the God of today. And if God could do it in the past, God can do it today. Somebody needs to get a hold of that today, that there are some battles that you have fought in the past that Jesus has come through for you. But I'm here to remind you that those victories, they're not dead and they're not dormant this morning. They are to remind you. I'm here to remind you that you need to claim those victories for today. I'm so glad that Jesus is fighting our battles.
Amen. I'm excited to be a child of God. That means I'm on the winning side. That means that I cannot be defeated. I might get knocked down. I might get beaten around. But I can get back up and say, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. When Paul and Silas followed the call of God to Macedonia, the enemy was waiting for them and sought to stop them from preaching the word of God. There was a lady that was possessed with a spirit, and that spirit would cry out from her and say, these men are servants of the Most High God, which have come to us to show the way of salvation. The enemy knew they were coming, and the enemy knew who they were and why they were there, to show unto us the way of salvation. I think you mentioned that this morning in your teaching. Amen. That the enemy knows all about God. He knows all about the child of God. And he knows the mission of God. And he knows that the mission of God will be accomplished. David had a decision to make. He didn't expect to hear this sound when he came into the camp. He didn't expect to see the fear of the great army of Saul. What was he going to do? Would he just go back and forget it all happened? Or was he going to step forward? We know the story of how David went before the king and said, look it, I don't know why you are all fearful with what's happening here, but I want to go and fight this enemy. See, David, as I said, was reminded of the bear, and he was reminded of the lion out in the fields, and how these animals, these prey, would try to take a lamb and maybe even have the lamb in their jaws, and David would wrestle that lamb free. It was God's spirit that moved upon him, that enabled him to do what he was able to do, to save the lamb. And he believed that the God that was with him in the fields would be the same God that would go down into the valley with him. And he says, I will fight this uncircumcised enemy. He knew that God would see him through. Amen. There's a verse that Paul wrote in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. David knew there was a power inside of him that was working for his side. And I want to tell you this morning, there's a power. It's called the Holy Ghost power. It's working inside of you. Even when you don't see it working, it's working. You may not hear it, but God's working. Your situation is not bigger than God. Saul questioned David. David reflects on the time of the lion and the bear. The Spirit of God comes upon him, and he knew that same Spirit would help him to defeat this uncircumcised Philistine. Amen. Many times we need to go back to yesterday, because the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And I think sometimes, as a child of God, we kind of forget that. We're in the heat of the moment, the heat of the battle, and it doesn't look too good for us. But God promises us that the miracles that he has done in our yesteryears will be done for us today, and they will continue on for us until the Lord comes. Because circumstances do not change God. He's the same. Amen. I believe the Lord is the Lord of our personal lives. Isn't it, God? He's so precious. He's so personal. That's what I like about the Lord. He loves the world. He died for the world, but he's personal. to think he would go to a cross and die and rise again only to go and pour out his spirit on the day of Pentecost so that he could live inside of me and you. My, what a personal God. He says, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And he wants us to depend upon him. He's the God of the unexpected, folks. He really is the God of the unexpected. We need to remember that. Don't forget the miracles. I'm sure there's testimonies of miracles that have happened in your past. We've had a week of prayer and fasting in our home church, and the testimonies have been coming in of how God has healed different individuals. He has supplied many needs through those prayers and that fasting. I want to let you know God's still working today. He's not gone on vacation. God is still working today. What's an unexpected event? Well, it's something that was not planned for. It's something that you did not expect to happen. Pretty simple. An unexpected event happens to everyone, and there's no way we can avoid them. It's a part of what? Life. Unexpected things are going to happen in this life. We just need to learn how to handle them. All right? Need to learn how to handle them. Now, I said at the beginning that I believe the Lord wants to restore. He wants to renew your trust in him. I believe there's somebody here this morning, you've been struggling with your trust in God. You could be in the heat of the battle. You might have a Goliath standing before you and you just don't know where to turn or what to do. But I'm here to remind you that you got to put your trust in a God that can do all things. I read to you in Isaiah 12 and 2 that the prophet says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. This verse became real to me when I was going through my sickness. If you don't mind, I'd just like to share a little bit of my testimony. Just a little bit, just to encourage you, to let you know that God will see you through. And God showed me, give me this verse in the hospital, and when I got home, I got studying it. That word afraid means that when you are startled or sudden alarm comes or something unexpected, what are you going to do? What's your reaction going to be? Are you going to trust the Lord or are you going to become full of worry and anxiety? God is my salvation. You know what? If we trust him, that word salvation means it's a deliverance or it's a victory. The key word in that verse is trust. Got to trust. Now, as a pastor, I say that a lot. We got to trust the Lord. There's times I don't know what to say. Now, the character, they got you saying, you got all the right words. That's what they said. I need to sit down with you and have coffee on a Wednesday night. So we can. There's times I just don't know what to say as a pastor. Huh? So we say, look, we're going to pray and we're going to trust God. Because I've proven it. I live that. I've said, God, I don't know where you're taking us. I'm going to trust you. I got to put it in your hands. You know what I'm talking about, folks. You've been in the church for a while. You know what it is to really trust God the way you need to. And it brings that deliverance into your life. And the Bible goes on in this verse. It says, if we will trust the Lord, it says, he will be our strength. Oh, there's times we become so weak. There's times we become so weary. But God says, I'll be your strength in the midst of that unexpected trial that comes upon you. It's not meant to overtake you. That's not the purpose of the trial. If God allows it, he's going to make a way for you to escape. When the doctors say that we have done all that we can do for you, what do? I'm sure there's others in this room that have this testimony, because that's where I was. The doctor says, we don't know what to do for you. You got to trust the Lord. I remember in March of 2010, my wife and I, we went through the most trying time of our lives, and the doctors were perplexed as they tried to diagnose a heart condition that they had never seen before. They prepped me for surgery after a week in the hospital, different procedures that they did, trying to correct the problem. My heart was spiking. The heartbeat was spiking without any reason. I have a defibrillator that just kept shocking over and over and over. Within that week, it was over 50 times that I got shocked by this defibrillator. It was the most trying week of my life, I can say that. And they tried to prepare us before the surgery of what could happen. They say, we don't know what we're going to do. We're going to open you up, and we don't really know what to look for. They say there's a good possibility that you won't come through this surgery, or if you do come through, you could be brain dead, or you could have an artificial heart when you wake up. Well, man, that's not good news. That's what they were telling us. But God knows just when to show up. It was 1:40 in the morning. That Friday morning, 1:40, they had a big round clock in the hospital in that room. 1:40, God spoke to me so plainly. As he gave me that verse, he says, the problem will be fixed today. Yeah. After going through a week of turmoil, God says, I'm going to fix it. Well, my word, the lame man come out of me. Huh? Acts chapter 3. Yeah. I said, we're going home today. Now, I never slept all night, of course. I was bargaining. How are we going to do this, Lord? How's this going to happen? Do I wait for the nurse to come in with the next needle and just tell her, oh, we don't need that no more? You know, I was talking that way. God, I was just so excited, because I believe with all my heart it was a word from the Lord. Well, God doesn't always do things the way we expect it. I did have to go through surgery. Went through surgery that afternoon, later on. And, of course, I come through it. It was a long recovery. And I remember how when the surgeon came into the room after I had got to the room and recovered a little bit, and I asked him, I said, what did you do? What did you do? And he says, well, this is his response. I don't really know. I just removed from your heart what I thought was causing the problem. But you know what happened? God took the hands of that man and he spoke in his mind. He says, you do this and you do that and you do this, because this is my child that I'm going to raise up, that he's going to be preaching in St. John one day to tell some people that they can still trust the Lord in the midst of your storm. Because God will be your strength, folks. You got to trust Him. You got to trust Him that He will be your strength and pull you through. I was at my last checkup here back just in June in Halifax. The doctor, again, he's just amazed. He's just dumbfounded by my condition. Still can't explain it, really. And he just looked at me as he looked up to heaven, didn't he? He looked up. He says, you know, Ron, it's nothing less than a miracle that you're still here 14 years after that surgery. I want to tell you, God knows how to bring glory. Amen. God knows how to get the glory, all the glory to God. So God will be your strength. It also says He'll be your song. He'll be your song. You may need a song this morning or this afternoon. Paul and Silas, we know the story that the Bible says they prayed and they sang praises as they were in prison. And the prisoners heard them, all of the prisoners. They didn't whisper it. They sang loud that all the prisoners heard the singing and the praying. Now, I got thinking about that. And it's amazing, you know, because when they did sing and pray, the Bible says there was an earthquake that shook the foundations. All the bands, everyone's bands were loose from their hands and their feet. And all of the doors opened. Now, to me, that's a riot waiting to happen. Huh? Oh, let's get out of here. I don't know how many prisoners were in that jail, but everybody's door was open. Every jail cell was open. But you know what I believe happened? That when Paul and Silas began to pray, there was just a calmness. There was a calmness through that song that just went through that jailhouse. And those prisoners were just baffled by the power of God. That's why they couldn't move. That's why they couldn't make an escape, because God had intervened. I remember how God gave me a song in that time. As I was coming out of the surgery and recovery, I was laying there on the stretcher, and I couldn't move, couldn't open my eyes, but I could hear. I heard the surroundings, everything I could hear. I knew, you know, I kind of figured, where am I? Where am I? What's going on? And you know what? How God just so remarkable, because God gave me a Christian nurse. She was looking after me. I couldn't see her at the time. Her name's Lucy. I found it afterwards. I talked to her afterwards. But God put that lady in my life at that moment. And you know what? She was singing a song. It was a song that I recognized at the time. I don't remember what it is right now, but I remember the song as she was singing and how God just lifted my spirit, just to let me know that if you trust me, everything's going to be all right. I'll bring a deliverance. I'll make a way of escape from all of this. I'm going to do a work that no man will be able to do on their own if you will just trust me. There's someone here in this house this morning that you need to have your trust renewed. Understand that God is walking you through a valley for a reason. For the glory of God must be revealed through your life somehow. And sometimes it takes a battle. Sometimes it even takes a Lazarus experience. But God will come through. And He'll make a way in the unexpected times of our lives. As you read down through the rest of the chapter, I'm not going to take the time, but it talks about how God will give you joy. It talks about how that you will begin to sing and you begin to praise Him and cry out with a loud voice, great is the Holy One of Zion that is in the midst of us. Hallelujah. That's what God will do for you. As I close out this message this morning, we need to face our problems head on this morning. Because God is bigger. We need to remember the words of David, because when he went down into the valley, he said to that giant, this day, the Lord's going to give you into my hands. This day. Not tomorrow. Not next week. I'm not coming back. This day. The giants, you're coming down. You're going to be our servants. This very day. And I just believe in my spirit, as we stand together, let's stand. I believe in my spirit that today is somebody's day. This day. this day you can be delivered of the fear and of the anxiety and the worries that you have had in your life. If you will just trust the Lord and let Him do a remarkable work in your life this morning. I believe God is in this house to do that. As the music comes, this little man, the wee little man, Zacchaeus, they call him. Jesus meets him on the road. Zacchaeus, of course, was a short man and had to run ahead and climb a tree and because he wanted to catch a glimpse of this one named Jesus. Zacchaeus wasn't didn't have a very good reputation with the community. But yet, there was something inside of him that says, I got to change. I got to change my ways. And as he runs and he climbs that sycamore tree to get a better look at Jesus, as Jesus gets to him, he looks up. He says, Zacchaeus, come down. This day, salvation has come to your home. I want to tell you this morning that today is somebody's day. Is there anyone that can take a step of faith and say, today is my day of salvation. Today is my day of deliverance. Today is my day of renewed trust in the Lord. Is there anyone that you want to come up around this altar and celebrate Jesus? Raise your hands to heaven and say, Lord, I need you to renew me. I need you to strengthen me. I'm going to put my trust in you. I know all the situations may not just go away, but God will give you the strength that you need to help you through your difficult time this morning. Come on, can you believe the Lord today? Today is my day. This day is my day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't understand it all, Lord. I don't understand why it's happening. But today, I need my trust renewed. Come on, raise your hands. Cry out to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, I give you everything. Come on, this is a time of surrender. Say, I give you everything, Jesus. I'm giving you everything this morning. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my situation. The giants are not going to overtake. Lord, the valleys are not going to be too deep for me. But I am going to trust you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.